Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's edition, the final edition of ISWE Professional Wrestling Radio. The finale, the farewell, the we'll see you soon, the goodbye, the farewell, however many words I can come up with. I maybe even repeated those twice. I'm your host, Michael McCurdy, the creator and author of the upcoming encyclopedia WCCW. And folks, I have said upcoming since this show started back in 2014. And I promise you, the book is coming. At this point in time, we are looking at a 2017 release. I'm very happy to be able to say that now, and I thought I'd save that for our finale. And joining me, as always, once again, still nestled safely behind the walls of Camp Sousa in an undisclosed location somewhere right here behind the Redwood Curtain. Folks, I still will not tell you where it's at, no matter what. Stay tuned for the final few moments of this show, and I might change my mind, though. My co-host, the Golden Man, the Suntan Superman, whatever, a sexual mocha or a romantic mocha, that's what I refer to him as. Folks, I'm a little excited right now. My co-host, Joe Sousa. Joe, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing really well. Considering we've got the curtain call, not exactly the curtain call where the clique did their taking their bow at Madison Square Garden and Mr. McMahon was in the back butthurt, but no, I am doing really, really well. You should be doing really well. Now, barring whatever happens now, if they played earlier today or tonight, the San Francisco Giants ran into a buzzsaw called the Oakland Athletics. Now, I don't know if you've been keeping up with that, but as of right now,
of course I have.
A's are, okay, well, well, I've been busy and all that. So, yeah, but this past week has been pretty good. This past Saturday, my daughter Patty, or daughter Joe, as she is known, she got married at Patrick's Point State Park. That was really, really cool. And Arlene and myself, you know, we walked down to Agate Beach, and that was a month of Sundays. It's a beautiful park, but with the crazy rain and the weather and that type of thing, walking down there on those steps are pretty much gone, so... But it was a chore, but it was a lot of fun, which, you know, brings us to Sunday. You know, as you know, you and myself with Rocket Boy Brett, we had the really fun meet and greet at Redwood Acres last day of the fair. You know, a lot of people came by and, you know, got autographs and posed for pictures and chatted wrestling, and it was really, really cool. And last night, I'm surprised my voice is still going. I was on Freddie Lazarus's Dervcast last night. The interview went 2 hours. We talked for four. It's like big, you know, talk about Cal Palace wrestling and what have you, and you know what's going on and what's going to happen and all that bunch of stuff. But I mean, there's, you know, so much to talk about tonight. You know, going back 2 years plus of, you know, what we've done and how it started. You know, with this here podcast and, you know, all the crazy things that's happened and all the wonderful guests and all the surprise callers. I mean, it's all of the above, Mike. That's what it is. It's all of the above.
Well, tonight we are going to be talking about highlights of ISW Radio. Began in January of 2014, David Fuller and myself, Joe, you and Brian, and let's not forget Austin Porch. Great guy. The three of you, you joined the show back in August 2014. So we've been going 2 years running with the three-man power trip, which was the four at first. But we're going to be talking about highlights. We're going to talk about some of our favorite memories. I know I have a few, you know, some good, some bad. And, yes, Joe, we have had surprise callers. Thank you, Mr. White. That's all I'm going to say on that one. But yeah, but you know what, folks, we've always said, you know, professional wrestling evolves and things, you know, evolve in there. And, you know, the show will return in the fall. There will be a new version, you know, so I'm looking forward to it. I enjoy doing the podcast. I've been doing this for 2.5 years. I never thought I would enjoy being a podcast. I'm not a talker. I'm a writer. I like to put words on paper. But I kind of enjoy having a chance to sit and BS with good friends of mine and a chance to interview people that I looked up to watching on TV growing up and all that. So it's been a fun ride, and tonight's going to be a fun episode as well. So, because we are being joined, Joe, in our second hour. And, folks, we are doing a little bit of a 90-minute edition tonight. I got to get back to work.
Yeah.
But we are going to be joined by our final guest of the evening, who ironically was the first guest of our show, none other than Cauliflower Alley Club Executive Vice President, Mr. Morgan Dollar. He will be joining us at the top of the second hour. And who knows what we're going to talk about with Morgan. I know he's high atop the executive seat of Harris Casino in North Kekalaki. So, you know, he might be broke right now, or he might be standing on a street corner trying to get nickels for a slot machine. I don't know.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but let me tell you something, Mike. There's, as of maybe a half hour ago, there's 900 reasons why he's probably very, very happy. I thought there was a couple of tickets shown on good old Facebook for us social media, good friendly folk to see. And as of a little bit ago, he's doing really well, but keep in mind, his last name is Dollar. Maybe he, as Gorilla Monsoon would say, went to the well one too many times. Let's tread lightly and ask, when we ask how he's doing, let's not giggle or snicker.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, the man whose name alone means money.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, we're going to bring on the third man of our three-man power trip. One last time I can introduce this gentleman. 2012 CAC Honoree Red Bastion Friendship Award, the Human History Book of ISWE, the official historian of the National Wrestling Alliance. This man has forgotten more than I think I can ever remember. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Westcott. Brian, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, yeah. It's been an interesting week. Looking forward to a long weekend for 4th of July. But, yeah.
Yes.
Big day today. 55 years ago today was on June 30th, 1961, Chicago, Illinois, the Comiskey Park drew 38,622 people, $148,000 was the gate. So both of those were records at that time. Beat Hans Schmidt by disqualification. The Angel beat Moose Cholak by disqualification. Antonino Rocca beat Carl Von Hess. Vittorio Apollo beat Mighty Atlas. Sweet Daddy Siki, Art Thomas, and Johnny Valentine beat the Fabulous Kangaroos and Red Berry. Captain Lou Albano and Tony Altimore beat Billy Goals and Johnny Gilbert to win the Midwest Tag Team Championship. Haystacks Calhoun beat the Crusher. In the main event, 2 out of 3 falls, the Nature Boy Buddy Rogers beat Pat O'Connor to become the new National Wrestling Alliance World Heavyweight Champion. Rogers wins the first fall, 8 minutes 30 seconds. O'Connor gets the second fall, 14 minutes 30 seconds. And Rogers got the third and final pin. And this was also the first closed-circuited pro wrestling event. I mean, I've actually been able to see the whole main event match on the – it's on the history of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship DVD. So pretty interesting. And, of course, Rogers Thomas to a nicer guy, it couldn't happen. So, so great. It was a great way to introduce him to a new era. It was Vince McMahon Sr. who really pushed for Rogers to get the nod to become the champion. Vince Sr. was very influential. So this was, yeah, this was before he broke away and started, of course, what we know as WWE today. So, but yeah, big day for the NWA for the 30th. I believe it's also Terry Funk's birthday. Happy birthday, Terry Funk. But at least June 28th, third anniversary of the death of Maniac Matt Bourne, and I know we honored him in the Southern Wrestling Hall of Fame. One-of-a-kind individual. Speaking of Buddy Rogers, June 26th, well, it's been 24 years since his passing. so he passed away in 1992. They were trying to for the Tri-State Wrestling Alliance. It was kind of before they went away and ECW took its place. They were trying to set up Buddy Rogers versus Buddy Landell in a match, and unfortunately, never happened. So, it's also, yes, the 40th anniversary of, and what we talked about earlier this month, Muhammad Ali against Antonio Inoki. So, you already know the story to that. So, June 24th was the third anniversary of the death of Jackie Fargo. And, of course, we have named our strut-off contest after him, besides Larry Sweeney. But I think we mentioned this, June 24th, 1994, was Sabu going up against Cactus Jack in the Hostile City Showdown. So, anyway, a lot going on for history. But today, especially, being a big, big day for the NWA, I figure a nice way to end our IHWE radio history segments by with one of the biggest cards in pro wrestling history. And, of course, we've seen it grow bigger and bigger. So, yeah, it's been fun doing these history segments.
Yeah, it has. Not only fun, but, you know, knowledgeable. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, you know, like what happened on this day and, you know, what have you. Just, you know, a lot of important stuff, you know, case in point, you know, last Thursday, you know, I mean, we had, you know, the thing going and we, you know, it just kind of flew by us, but, you know, a little shout out, you know, last Thursday was the anniversary of Austin 316, the infamous promo that, you know, Stone Cold gave to Michael Hayes, which was strictly all off the cuff, and who would have thunk? Yes, I said thunk. Who would have thunk that that would have been, that probably, it, I would say it is the biggest marketing tool in the history of the business.
Oh, yeah, $8 million, I think it was, when it was all said and done for Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think that 1 year in 1999 or 1998, but half of that was T-shirt sales of that. So, yeah, really incredible. Yeah, and you're right, it was just impromptu. Yeah, talk about your Bible, talk about your Psalms, talk about your John 3:16, and yeah, that's where he, this was the King of the Ring tournament. Austin had just won the tournament. So that
kind of put it
in context.
Yeah, even though he got his lip busted open and went to the hospital and got that stitched up and came back and finished the thing. I mean, that's a man's man right there. But, you know, you mentioned the 4th of July weekend coming. Looking forward to it. You know, my reason being is this Monday, the 4th of July, will be my 20th wedding anniversary.
The 4th. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. The 4th of July in 1996, Arlene and myself, or Mrs. Joe, instead of us walking that aisle, I think we may have walked the plank backwards because we got married aboard the Mattaquit boat, the Humboldt Bay Harbor Cruise in the middle of Humboldt Bay. And that was really, really cool. Very, very unique type of thing. And, Arlene gave me the green light, you know, pick the date, you know. And I went, well, I want to do something unique and usual. And I go, well, what do you think? We got married on the boat. Lord Jonathan Boyd, one of the Royal Kangaroos, he was supposed to be my best man. He missed it by a couple of days. He had a family emergency, so he had to go to Memphis and take care of some things. We almost had the boxing referee Mills Lane officiate our wedding. We actually talked to him about that, and unfortunately, he's only licensed in Nevada. But you know, the setup was, you know, he was going to wear his boxing suit, the shirt, the blue shirt, and the bow tie, and instead of saying "I now pronounce you man and wife," we were going to kind of do like any questions from the bride, any questions from the groom, let's get it on type of thing. And he was stoked about it, but you know, he wasn't licensed, but he still gave us his love and his congratulations and that type of thing. So, but nonetheless, you know, 20 years, you know, very, very cool. And, you know, especially, you know, coming along with this crazy ride, you know, wrestling wise, you know, the stuff that she's done, whether it be, you know, running the gimmick table, running the box office up in Oregon and a few other things. So, you know, good stuff.
All right, well, guys, We have a special guest joining us right now. He asked if he could come on and talk with us for a few. He is the creator and the founder, the man behind, the brains behind the Offshoot Network, none other than Mr. Trey McLean. Trey, how are we doing?
The brains behind the Offshoots Network?
Well, somebody has to be the brains behind the Offshoots Network. I've listened to some of your shows, man. Somebody's got to take credit.
Yeah, or blame. Well, hey, Michael McCurdy, Joe Santos, Brian Westcott, I'm so happy that, you know, you guys have, you know, been a part of our network here for the last 6-7 months. And like I mentioned on Facebook earlier, you know, I got over 5,000 downloads in California alone. That's mainly because of y'all. Because no one in California would give a damn about that show from Texas. So.
Well, that's really good stuff. And I'll let that Santos line go this time.
I don't know if you're going to catch that or not.
Oh, I got that. I still catch that once in a great while, thanks to that one announcer. I forgot his name, the one in Vegas. Whatever
Tom Simon.
His name is. Oh, okay.
No,
Bob Simon. Okay.
Well,
Tom Simon.
Joe, forever now until the Offshoots Network completely closes down, which could be next week, you will always be Joe Santos to us, sir.
Okay. Done deal.
No, but
and they also want to know where the Redwood Curtain is, Joe. So.
Yes, where the hell is the damn Redwood Curtain, especially if we're having a curtain call tonight?
Okay, well, okay, let it be known. I think I will have to finally break the silence, okay? I am nestled somewhere behind the Redwood Curtain. I am nestled here in Arcata, California. Boom. There it is. You will, for our listeners, you will never ever hear me say this again the rest of the night. That's where I live.
Wow.
And for the listeners who may not.
We have uncovered the Redwood Curtain.
There we go. And for the listeners who may not understand the Redwood Curtain reference, if you know anything about Northern California, the Pacific Northwest, our trees and our roads are lined with redwood trees, lots of redwood trees. Humboldt County is a little bit off from where San Francisco is. So people kind of consider us to be cut off. So that highway that leads up with all the redwood trees that line and all the things that surround it is what we lovingly refer to as the Redwood Curtain. It is just a few hours north of San Francisco. Therefore it's called the Redwood Curtain because of all the redwood trees. And if you've ever driven the road up here, you know what we're talking about. You will lose your cell phone service driving up here. Because of all the trees. Like, just nothing. So if you break down, you're screwed.
Oh, by the way, I should also mention that, obviously, Brian, you're not in California, is that correct?
Right, I'm in Idaho.
Yeah, so up in Idaho, we have at least 60 listeners up there, or 60 downloads, so that's pretty much all that Brian's downloaded from the show, so I appreciate that as well. So
Brian's got a fan club.
We had 49 states. For the life of me, I don't know why the hell we can't get over in Vermont, but, you know, it is what it is.
Let's work on that.
I mean, I know. If not, we're going to declare war on Vermont. But, go ahead.
I think probably why, because about a year and a half ago, we may have said something not too nice about the show Newhart, you know, which did place in Vermont. So maybe those people got a little uptight, and that's their way of protesting, I guess. I could very well be wrong.
Well, if people want to come see Larry, Daryl, and Daryl, they've got to come down to Waxahachie, Texas on July 2nd to go catch the NAWA show. I got Devin Storm and his two stooges that are there, which are, I'm going to start lovingly refer to them as Larry, Daryl, and Daryl. So, works for me.
Well, there's the invite. People of Vermont, come on out.
Exactly. So, before I let y'all go, because once again, I want to thank you guys once again for just being a part of my family with this whole thing. And obviously, we'll see what happens in the future with you guys and the network. We still got the retro radio. That's no big deal. But my question to you guys is, when did y'all realize when doing the podcast deal that you realize you guys probably have something here?
Mike, you want to...
Well, I've been, obviously, I've been with this since the very beginning and all that. And we did, we figured if this show went to the end of the year, 6-9 months, we were going to be happy with that. So obviously, you know, in the first 6 months of the run, you know, we had some great guests. We had a lot of feedback and following. And then when Joe joined it, and everything that's happened with Joe and Brian and being on here, was it, I was being a smartass one day when I made the comment about nestled safely behind the walls of Camp Sousa somewhere behind the Redwood Curtain, you know, and people were asking me, where is that? Where is it? Where's Joe? And I'm like, really? And then with Brian, you know, the human history book, I've always kind of referred to him as that. So, but people were catching on to it where other people refer to him as the human history book of IHWE. They ask where Camp Sousa is. I had the email that said the guy enjoyed my sarcastic character when in reality it's just me on the microphone having a good time. So,
yeah,
it kind of, I can't pinpoint when, but it's just been amazing that enough people listen that they were actually picking up on, you know, some of the little things. And that's why I kept doing them, because people were asking me, you know, oh, I enjoy that. Oh, where's, you know, this, that? Why don't you do this? Okay. And the three-man power trip, obviously, you know, that's a play. And there are other podcasts. I believe there's one called The Two-Man Power Trip. So I might be, you know, a little copyright infringement on that one. But,
okay.
No, when people refer to fall to it, I had a lady come into me one time, the gas station I work at. And I'm not going to tell people where it's at because I don't want you to come find me. But she came in, she heard me talking, and she goes, I know that voice. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she goes, you do the podcast or whatever. I'm like, yeah. And she goes, my son listens to that every week. I'm like, oh. And she goes, on our computer. So I hear you every week. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, she knew who I was. She knew I did a podcast. But, yeah, I got recognized, and she hears my voice every week. I don't know if she was saying that as a good thing or a bad thing. So, no, we found out we had something going. And, honestly, I would love to work with Joe and Brian more down the road. So, I mean, you know, in this business, you can never say never. You know, and,
right.
You know, we might get the band back together every once in a while just to do a, you know, we might come up with a special thing or something. We want to put the band back together for a night or two. You know, you can never say never, though.
You know, in my case, when I, you know, we just did it. You know, we would just talk to, you know, we'd have interviews with the guests. And with us, it wouldn't be an interview. It would be like a conversation, like a candid conversation, just shoot the bull, that type of thing. And afterwards, you know, I'd get emails, you know, from the guests, you know, hey, you know, thank you. I mean, it was a great candid conversation, just, you know, being comfortable. And that's what we try to make it. That's what we try to make it, Trey. I mean, what you hear from us is what you get. I mean, it's straight up off the cuff, not scripted, and it's straight from the heart. And that's why the guests enjoy coming on, talking to us, let alone us talking to them and listening to them. And the load of people that are listening to our show, whether it be it live or downloaded. Now, at my shoot job, you know, at Mad River Community Hospital in Arcata, there I said Arcata again, you see me working here, there's a lot of people that come up and they say, hey, you know, they actually are looking forward to listening to the show. Well, because they respect what I do, because, I mean, if it was anybody else, oh, pro wrestling, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-yard stick, but they know what I do when I'm not at the hospital, pertaining to either be the podcast or if I'm doing something up and down the coast or if I'm doing Rumble in the Redwoods or what have you. They've got that respect that there's something sincere about this whole crazy thing called professional wrestling. And when, you know, we found and when the guests started, you know, liking what we're doing, it's like, hey, this is working. So, you know, as the old cliche goes, if it ain't broken, you know, don't fix it. And, you know, listening to the stories and just letting it all hang out, if that makes any sense, where you can just let your hair flow, even though mine and Michael's, I mean, we let our hair flow all the time. I mean, we have, like, you know, long, 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 beautiful hair, so.
On our backs.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can relate, so.
Gotcha.
Well, boys, once again, thank you all so much. Look forward to hearing you guys in your next endeavor. And obviously, you know, the door is always open to the Offshoots Network if y'all want to, you know, bring the band back together and launch a show of those. Real quickly, do you mind if I give a shameless plug real quick?
Oh, we live for shameless plugs.
No sleep. Okay, brand new show on the Offshoots Network called Split Decision. It's our first homegrown MMA show, launched today. My co-host from the Offshoots, Big Kev, he's always wanted to do an MMA style show, and I'm the worst one to do MMA with because I don't watch it. But another guy I used to work with when I did credit repair, he's a big MMA buff. So, and he's been on my, he's been on the Offshoots a few times as the fake John Jones and a few other people. So he wanted to do is he wanted to do the MMA show as well. So we put this thing together. We put the show out there last night or today, and hopefully people go can find it on the Facebook page called Split Decision. I know there's several of them that are out there like that, so you have to kind of dig for it. But also go to the Offshoots Network, and you'll see our links to that as well. Plus, go to Podbean. The offshoots.podbean.com. Direct links to the shows are listed on there as well. And, of course, once we get ISW Retro Radio figured out as far as how we're going to run that, I'm going to probably make it a seasonal thing, like run like 6 episodes, take a few weeks off, run 6 episodes, take a few weeks off, because y'all have 2.5 years of shows, so I have to go through every single interview that you guys did to find out what works and what doesn't work. So, because I know there's been times when Mike has sent me a message on Facebook saying, oh, dear Lord, please edit my show. Please cut this off.
Oh,
please
yes.
Cut this.
Yes. We've had a few of those. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I'm not going to showcase y'all's work. I'll focus on the highs, really. So
I'm going to give you a hint, man, and I want to hear this on here. I want to hear this on Retro. You need to go back. I believe it's May or so. You got to get my interview. It's one-on-one. It's me and Johnny Fairplay.
Johnny Fairplay. May of this year?
No, May of our first year, 2014.
Okay.
It's like very beginning, but it's me and Johnny Fairplay. Huge wrestling fan that man is. He works a lot of indie shows up in the Pacific Northwest, and he has some great stories about Survivor and wrestling combined. He was a wrestling fan even while he was doing Survivor. It's a half-hour interview, and it was really fun to do, so...
Well, you know, what's interesting is that, like, you guys, all your archives are listed on iTunes. So I guess that must be a deal between Blog Talk Radio and iTunes, because everything you've done since 2014 is on there. Whereas my show's listed on iTunes as well, but it only backs up to the first 10. I mean, to the last 10 that have been played. And at that point, you have to go to my actual website to pull the actual show. So I wonder if that's just a deal that Blog Talk has with iTunes, or if there's something I need to do
I believe Blog Talk has a server that posts through iTunes. I do believe everything available through Blog Talk is available through iTunes. I think they have a special server deal for that.
Huh. Well, there's that then. So, well, anyway, as I said, thank you guys. Brian, I know we're kind of leaving you out here. I don't mean to, but you live up in Idaho, so that happens. Thank you for being a part of the network. Y'all, you came on my show before a few times, and we did some picks, WrestleMania picks, I got to know you a little bit, so it was always cool to actually, you know, further what my education is down here in Texas to around the nation, and getting to know you guys is a big plus. And, of course, Mike, you're moving down here to Texas soon, so I'll probably see more and more of you as we move forward.
Oh, I'm sure. You'll have to give me a little lesson in, you know, some Texas wrestling, because well, I know IHWE, and I know World Class from back in the 80s. So all these other groups, I need to go out and meet some people.
Well, I'm still learning the process of what TCW was when it was running wild out here in the 2000s. So, but, yeah, NAWA, MPX, NWA Texoma, of course, IHWE, and several other local VIPs also big out here. So, obviously, we got lots to choose from out here. So, definitely when you get out of here, we'll do some exploring.
Sounds good.
All right, boys. Well, good luck to y'all. And once again, hope to hear you guys down the road.
Oh, cool.
Thank
we'll
you,
be keeping in touch, my
yeah,
friend. And
thanks
once
again,
for
thank everything.
You.
Hi, that was Trey McLean, the brains behind the Offshoots Network. I'm going to stick with that. That was an interesting question, though, guys. Was when did we realize we had something? Because it just kind of came out of the blue. I mean, honestly, we just kind of thought we were three guys talking some wrestling, and we got interviews, but we seem to have been picked up, you know, 2.5 year run, and, you know,
we didn't
lots
know
of highlights and lots of memories.
I mean, we didn't realize that there was a boatload of people listening to us while we were just,
yeah.
you know, three of us just banging our gums. You know, I mean, we're just here, you know, talking and yakking, and then we got the interviews and lots of great, you know, conversation. But little did we know, it's like, oh, my God, there's an audience listening to what we do, and they like what we're doing. I mean, that's the ultimate compliment. That's very, very cool.
Yeah, pretty incredible stuff. I didn't know there were 60 downloads from Idaho alone. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, just the open doors I've had through this. Definitely everyone's concerned about my health and well-being. Of course,
yes.
Gave the chance to go to IHWE California twice, since I was with my father, since I drove, and just getting to be there, just to be experienced part of all of that, and of course helping out with CAC. And just the networks and the contacts and just being able to book some wonderful guests, finally getting to book Cue Ball Carmichael. I've respected for a whole lot of years, and Bammy Hall, and definitely probably our most downloaded guest, Kenny Bolin. Oh, my goodness. That was just a big coup right there.
He's cool. I mean, any man that can talk TGNY and Sprouse Rights and Ben Franklin and all the nickel and dime stores. And that's cool stuff. I mean, that's a straight up guy right there, I'll tell you.
Everybody loves the Star Maker. Now, Joe, honestly, then I'm going to ask you this. Do you remember your first appearance on the show?
As co-hosting or as a guest?
Just on the show, yeah, as a guest.
Yeah, I remember. You know, you and David, you asked me about it, and you know, and you cued me in to David. You told me what I was all about, and we did the interview, and it tried to come off as an interview, but it was basically a bowl session. I mean, it was kind of like just us talking right now, and it was cool. Try to condensed, you know, the stuff that I've done wrestling-wise over 20 years plus within 15, 20 minutes. But, and I'd say about half of it or three-quarters of it, you know, you were with me doing this. Lots of firsts as well. One big first with us was our first Old School Hustle when I did the play-by-play and you did the color on we were asked to call a match on the podcast, and it was like old school radio, and we pulled it off, by golly. I mean, it was really, really cool. You were nervous as heck. I said, hey, just call what you see, and we'll just bounce off each other, and it was fun. As for coming on co-hosting, we've talked about it, and you asked me, and I said, that's a no-brainer. I'd be more than happy to. In Arcata. Camp Souza in an undisclosed
Camp
location.
Souza.
Yes, Camp Souza. Yes, Camp Souza in an undisclosed location behind the Redwood Curtain up in northwestern California. Bleh, there, I said it. And it was fun. I mean, you know, we all look forward to Wednesdays to do this. You know, regardless of, you know, who is going to be our guest, or even if we had a guest, just that we knew for at least a couple of hours, I'm not going to say we were here to entertain, because that basically, you know, we have to read a script and we have to go by some job description or whatever. No, basically, you know, us being us was entertaining. I mean, you know, what, like I said, with you, Brian, myself, what you hear is what you get. And that's what made it so cool, because we were downright, you know, honest. Once again, did we step on a few toes? I'm going to say we probably did, but hey, it's live radio, you know? So, lots of good stuff. And Brian, you know, I want to especially, you know, thank you. Like I said, you know, even we met at Cauliflower Alley, but things really got going, you know, with her on the podcast. You know, we got to know each other all the more, and very, very cool. And because, you know, this is the curtain's coming down, you know, sometime soon tonight, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, that's the end of us or anything. I mean, in this business, friends, brothers to the end. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
And that is a straight shoot.
Yep, total shoot for me. I love both of you guys very much. You guys have been there for me, and hopefully I've been there for you through all of this. This has just been an incredible ride, been an incredible experience.
Now, Mike, I hope that answered your question. I mean, I kind of went
That did, but one thing I was thinking of, because it's kind of funny, is we brought you on. We also, that was when we promoted our first show here, the first Rumble in the Redwoods.
Yep.
And if you remember right, David set us up with a very special guest that night who referred to us that, you know, we wanted to play promoter, and we thought we were so damn important we wanted to put ourselves on the poster. So, yeah, your first episode of ISW Radio, we got blasted by the devil.
Derek Drexel, yeah, he, you know, God bless him. God bless the devil. That's right. Hashtag God bless the devil. There, I said it. Fantastic wrestler, this guy. Character-wise, I mean, all ribbon aside, class act, good wrestler. I mean, we watched him train from the get-go when he was doing other stuff. We're not going to mention what he was doing before he became a wrestler, but I mean, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, but I don't think he'd want us to say anything. But he verbally lambasted us, and the first thing out of his mouth when he climbed in the ring with me at Rumble in the Redwoods, Joe Souza, you got to be the most stupidest person I've ever met. And I was already, and I think I was changing the color on the back end of my drawers. I mean, that was, yeah, that got a little nerve-wracking, and the fans got a little uptight about that. And, whew, yeah, but, you know, all joking aside, class act Derek is, and, yeah, he made his presence felt on that episode.
Derek actually probably, of all the guys, you know, has such a mind for the business. And I love talking to Derek because, you know, I mean, we talk business outside of the ring as well. And it's like he flips the script instant. You know, I mean, I get creeped out by him sometimes, and I know him.
Right.
So I can just imagine the people who don't know, who all they see is the devil himself, Derek Drexel. You got to think that these people are scared to death because he makes me nervous a little bit, you know. Our ring announcer, Travis, you know, Travis Baxter, he got licked from, as he put it, the bottom of his chin all the way up to just past his ear. And I guess that was Derek's way of saying hello. And he said he had to go, you know, wash his face after it was over. But he said that the guy has such a gimmick and he does it so well. And this is from a man who just got licked by the devil in the ring, so...
Getting licked by the devil.
Bushwhacker style.
Bushwhacker style might have been a little better than this, but
I was gonna say, I think he would have rather been licked by a bushwhacker than a devil. Hey, you know what? I think we need to get our tongues bronzed tonight because everything's rolling off the tongue really, dare I say, eloquently. Wow,
eloquently, another big word here, ladies and gentlemen, on our farewell show. But, yeah, Derek is just one of just so many characters we've had on here. Like I mentioned, Detroit, Johnny Fairplay. You know, I got a chance to interview him. David did not participate in that episode. He had some other issues. He came in for the second hour. So it was just myself and Johnny Fairplay. And, folks, I will tell you this. I am a huge fan of Johnny Fairplay. If you don't know who he is, Joe, I mean, I'm not sure if you – you might know him wrestling-wise.
Yes.
I don't know if you know anything outside of wrestling, as far as Johnny Fairplay goes, or maybe our listeners don't either.
With Survivor and all that, yes, I'm very familiar.
Yes. Ah, okay. But Johnny Fairplay is the guy, folks, if you know, you don't remember, he set up one of, I think, the greatest moments ever in Survivor history. I think it's like their number one moment, when they would have the challenge where you got to spend some time with your loved ones, and everybody's loved ones come out onto the beach, so everybody's like, oh my God, you know, all the tears flow. And Johnny Fairplay's buddy walks out. And he's like, dude, and he's all, she's gone, man. And Johnny Fairplay explains that when it was time for this challenge, that either it was going to be his buddy or his grandma. If it was his buddy, then he would know that his grandma had passed because grandma was sick. So everybody, you know, he explained this, you know, so my friend's here, yada, yada, yada. everybody decided to resign from the competition and let Johnny win, quote, the competition, so that he could spend time with his friend and find out what happened with his grandmother, because she passed while he was on Survivor. And so he wins, and they go back to wherever, and they've got their luxuries, you know, their drinks and their food and all that. And you find out that Johnny Fairplay's grandma is actually home watching the show, or home watching Jeopardy, as he put it, because it was a setup. And I asked him about that on this show, and he flat out said, the first day he went there, he knew he was going to do that. If he made it to the luxury competition, that was his plan the entire time, was that he was going to do the grandma thing so he got to win or whatever, because he knew that was going to put him over as the biggest heel in Survivor. And that's what he wanted to do. The man, it was an absolutely amazing interview. He had great stories about Tommy Dreamer. And, I mean, Johnny Fairplay is a character in his own, but that interview was so much fun to do, just to talk about Survivor. One of the first times I got to talk to someone that I actually, well, besides Kevin Von Erich, obviously, and that's another story. But the first time I got to talk to someone that I was just such a fan of, and I got to hear all the stories and ask all the questions, I enjoyed myself so much with that interview. So, I mean, but that's just kind of one of the perks. I mean, Joe, I'm sure has there been an interview for you that was that, oh, wow, I can't wait, I'm going to talk to, there has to be one. We've been doing this for 2 years.
My God, the list is so many. Talking to Kevin Von Erich was cool. Talking to him. My mind is such a blank. I'm drawing a huge blank. I mean, talking to him. I mean, everybody I've talked to. I tried to make it, personal. The tributes were really good. Talking to my good friend Mr. Rock Rims, that does he has his Northern California book that's going to be coming out in a few months. Very, very cool. Sean Main, love him to death. Did great interviews. We talked to him. Pertaining to his brother Lonnie Main. Alan Bolte. Dear friend, ringing out there at the Cow Palace. There's just so many, Mike, and like I said, I mean, going 2 years, going through each every one. I know that there's some that names of have escaped me, and please to our guests if they're listening, forgive me on that one. But I mean, they were all good, and they all. Meant something, I mean, with the interviews or my questions, I put my all into it, not just to get the reaction, but, instead of, well, we're on the phone, I'm asking a question, I'm again answer. It's kind of like, you're sitting here and we're just, shooting the bull, kind of like what you and me do at the gas station there, Mike.
Right, right, exactly. Brian,
Well, real quick, if I may, there was one guest I was very, very surprised. You caught me off guard completely when you had my daughter Jessica as a guest. that just came off left field because we were on the road on speakerphone, and I was taking her home, and, we were talking, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I'm on speakerphone, and Jessica's here, and you go, oh, Jessica, hey, how you doing? And, she says, I'm good. And then she looks at me, she's mouthing, are we on the air? And I go, yeah, where there's millions of people listening to us right now. And her eyes kind of got big. She goes, whoa. And then that's when, hey, Jessica, how would you like to be a guest on the show? Just do an interview. And
that's, well, sometimes it's kind of the on-the-spot thing. It's kind of the on-the-spot thing sometimes that are the most fun for this show. So, and believe me, I've thrown a few curveballs out there for people.
Yes, you have.
Brian, has there been a guest for you that was that one that you couldn't wait to talk with? Or?
Q-Ball Carmichael, though I've respected for a long, long time. And I'm on his personal Facebook group called Q-Ball's Quarter Pocket. So, like I say, it's only a select. Individuals are allowed, and you kind of got to be in the industry with a few fans. I'm one of the few fans, but that was a really good one. Get in touch with Ballistic Brett Myers, who's a real fun. Allie Parker, her inspirational story. And that was just tremendous. Get in touch with Bambi Hall about her being in Canada, get her chance at training with Roddy Piper. And, yeah, so many wonderful guests. Yeah, I get in to speak with Kevin Von Erich. Get in to speak with Bill After. So, yeah, just lots of great, great guests that we have had. Rob Conway, Matt Riviera, Levi Shapiro, and Buddy Royal. I really loved the bull session we had with Gabriel Gallo. That was so much fun.
That was
real fun.
That was one of those, man, where I was afraid I was going to have to hold the censor button because Gallo informed me ahead of time he wasn't going to pull any punches. If we asked him a question, he was just going to flat out spit out however he felt, and he did.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were invaded with our Rumble in the Redwoods show. We were invaded by some of the guys on the card. Derek came back again. No, not Derek. I take that back. No, you know, Quiz was a guest. Dr. Cleaver came on. Thomas Shire. And, you know, Cleaver came on. And the Midnight, Saturday Night Delight, you know, I'm coming into Eureka, and I'm going to take the title. And, you know, as only Dr. Cleaver can do. And, you know, once again, you know,
well,
awesome talent.
Let's not forget, Joe, we were also joined by Wade Hess and Thunder that night, who got into the studio as well, so.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I mean, 2 years plus. I mean, there's like a long list. Oh, yeah. And they kind of made Rocket Boy Brett's night kind of rough and tumble. As the old saying goes, this is going to hurt. Oh, yeah, it hurt. I mean, we're talking about that clothesline, that boom or whatever, that thing he took in that match after his bout with Daniel Torch. My goodness, just rough and tumble.
You know, another guest that kind of stands out for me, and I know, Brian, you went out and you purchased her book as well, Tiffany Castleberry. Tiffany was an amazing guest. And it was wrestling-related a little bit, but she kind of got on here and told us kind of her story. And so many people downloaded that show. I mean, within a day, I think we had, like, just – within a day, we had like over 100 downloads, and normally we don't do that much within 24 hours. It takes like a week or two. But just so many people were downloaded that episode because she was so open and honest about everything. And, you know, Brian, I know you picked up the book. I'm looking at her book right now. It's still sitting on my desk, you know, from when we did that interview. That was just one of those that, you know, I didn't know what to say. I didn't really have questions. Her story was just so amazing. Chaz Taylor, the first time we had Chaz on, was another one when he talked
and
about it.
And we asked the
infamous
question about the bungee jump match, and he explained everything.
Yes, we talked about the bungee jump match and the whole thing behind that. But when he talked about his dad, too, and how rough it was to kind of be the son of, you know, a second generation because of the fact that a lot of guys would take liberties in the ring, kind of rough him around. Because he was his son, and this was kind of, you know, they maybe were a little bit, you know, sides of that we don't see. That's something you don't see in the ring or outside the ring very often. But, yeah, and then getting to talk about the, because the bungee jump match is another one of my personal favorites. And I watched it on YouTube just recently, and it's just a giant cluster mess. But,
Well, you know what, Tiffany, that one, it was one of those rare instances where the floor became hers because, you know, speaking for us three, we had nothing. I mean, that was just it. I mean, it was very, very heartfelt, straight from the heart, and affected, you know, everybody in some way, shape, or form with every part of the circumstances that she went through. And she's living to tell the tale about that. And she has such a wonderful smile. And, you know, and we got to meet her at, you know, Old School Hustle a couple of years back. Very, very nice lady, and it was cool. Now, you know, don't forget, you know, interviews with, you know, Mick Foley and Stan Hansen and Barbara Goodish. That was, you know, that was a really, you know, she very, very wonderful lady. And she did some time. She lived, not lived, but she's traveled up here behind the Redwood Curtain. So she's very familiar with this area and, you know, became good friends with my family, you know, my wife and, you know, my son and just, you know, down to earth. And like I said, you know, every interview we did, I mean, there's some, you know, the name, you know, the, you know, some names, you know, you just remember, there's some, but like I said, there's such a long list of people that we talked to. Oh, I mean, but you know, overall the entire experience was just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, here's the next question I'm going to throw out at you, Joe. And I'm sorry, guys, I'm just throwing these questions out, but this is kind of my idea for me. We've had inspirational interviews. You know, we've had those interviews, like, you know, for us, we're like, oh, I get to talk to this guy, can't wait. And for me, you know, one of the first ones, that was Kevin Von Erich. And if you go back and listen to that, you can tell I'm so damn nervous. But I'd only been doing this show for, like, a month. But
nervous, nothing.
Funny.
You're giddy as a girl, man.
There you go. Funny moments. What for you, Joe, and I'm sorry if this is going to have to make you think for a second, hurt your head. What for you would be one of the funniest moments we've had on this show? Because I know mine.
pertaining to the guest or pertaining to us talking and carrying on or a moment?
Maybe a little bit of both. Let's go with both. What the hell?
Oh, okay.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen.
Nothing wrong with that. Once again, live radio. God, I love it. Very cool. The Star Maker, the first time we talked to him, I literally had to move the phone away and cover the mouthpiece, and I'm kind of mouthing, am I really hearing this? My God. I mean, not in a bad way, but it was just funny as hell. It was great. And I actually had to put the phone next to Arlene's ear, and she kind of looked at me and was like, what are you listening to? And I go, Star Maker. So, you know, that's good. Gallo. Rock Riddle. Now,
oh, yeah.
Now, there was a couple of times where I would try to quietly eat while I got the phone. And, Joe, I hear you chomping or drinking something. I would appreciate if you would just stop and listen to what I have to say. And all of a sudden, the food just stayed in my mouth for, I guess, 40 minutes. I didn't want to move because I was in the presence of Rock Riddle. Michael, what's yours?
Oh, Lord. I'm going to pass it over to Brian first, actually.
Okay.
Oh, let's see. Well, definitely the road stories from you guys. With the last few shows, that was really good. Just get it, especially the Big Chief. We finally told the Big Chief story, the Big Chief drive-in, and all of that. Just that was a real good time. Gabriel Gallo, when I asked him a question about a ex Arizona promoter, and it's like I was like, oh, that guy, yeah. So yeah, just some real. Funny moments.
Buddy
Rob. Do it to it, Steve Cox. Yeah, he was a firecracker. Paul Orndorff interview. Of course, Orndorff's interview was still inspirational, though, after what he's been through. And, yeah, getting to see him honored at CSE. And, yeah, just a real good moment. Okay, Michael.
Yeah, I forgot about Do It To It, Steve Cox. Steve's awesome. If you can understand what he's saying, even James Beard will tell you that. Joe and I got the opportunity to meet him last year at Old School Hustle, and he's just as personable as he is on the phone. That's not a gimmick. It's not him being, you know, Steve Cox, the wrestler. No, that's just Steve in general. I've talked to him on the phone, and yeah, the stories he shared. He shared the Michael Hayes story about the limo, and he shared that on the air. how we were able to edit that I don't know, but he shared that on the air and all that. But no, for me, and unfortunately you guys weren't able to be on there. We had to do an early edition that day. It was the day before Thanksgiving. I remember right before Thanksgiving, I believe, David and I had hosted it. We had the Grappler, Jim Cornette, and Morgan Dollar on as our guests. And that was when Morgan let Grappler know that he was going to get the Men's Wrestling Award at CAC, so that was great. But they told a story that emanated from CAC the first year. Well, no, that emanated from Old School Hustle when Grappler went out and got his Southern Wrestling Hall of Fame Award just a few months prior. And they talked for a minute, and the gist of the story was that somebody had came in with maybe a little Petri dish that had saline in it, and it had, I believe it was a deer scrotum. Morgan will be on here. I can check with him for sure. But he wanted it made into a coin purse. And he asked Morgan if he could turn this into a coin purse as a gag gift for the man's wife for Christmas, as a gag gift, a deer scrotum coin purse. This, of course, made Grappler laugh. He thought it was, you know, the funniest thing. And Morgan actually made a comment that he had mounted a horse and then proceeded to make sure Jim Cornette did not say anything about that. But he told the goat scrotum story, or deer scrotum, whichever it was. It might have been goat. And the change purse. And Grappler is laughing. And this gets Jim Cornette started, where he makes the comment, and this is the one I will always remember, is, Morgan, maybe you could create the golden, you know, the goats, the golden goat scrotum award for the CAC, which can be awarded to somebody just for being an unmitigated dick. And everybody started laughing, but in true Jim Cornette fashion, he suggested the Golden Goat Balls Award that would just be given out to someone for being an unmitigated dick. And if Jim Cornette picked it, I would love to see the recipient of that and if they'd have the balls to actually show up and get it. But that, for me, is the funniest moment, to hear Morgan and Grappler and Jim Cornette talking about a deer scrotum and a change purse and the Golden Goat Balls Award. And, yeah, that, for me, is probably the funniest moment of all on this show as far as interviews go.
Now, you know what you just said, Mike. You made the comment about the scrotum award, and you also made the comment if this person had the balls, and I'm thinking, you got a balls reference in the scrotum. That's pretty
good. Yes, I threw that in there. I threw that in there. But, yeah, no, Kenny Bolin, you know, you asked me how I got started in business, and I'm telling you this is the disco version. I remember that. Steve Cox just basically, you know, sitting on his porch and just opened his mouth and let fly. That was great. Gallo, the ribs, you know, we had him share the rib that he played on Dr. Cleaver. Poor guy.
Yeah. Oh my
Joe
God.
And I were there for that. We were there the day that happened. Yeah.
Yes, we were.
Oh, but
and
you
let him
know
about it.
He did. He was fine. You know, I've never asked him about it. I should have done that. I should have asked Doc for his side of that story when he was on, but I don't know. But no, guys, it's been a fun 2.5-year run. And in the fall, you know, our new show begins. Brian, you'll be on with your history segments and interviews, and we're looking at a new network. So I'm hoping that is just as much fun, but I don't know. I mean, this one was pure just entertainment for me. This was just a chance to sit down with Joe and you and David and whoever our guests were, to sit down and have a good time. And I always said, our goal is to entertain. And damn it, people, if you're not entertained by some of the crap that comes out of our mouths sometimes when we're just winging it, you have no sense of humor. I'm just going to say it that way. So,
yeah, just, you know, go pack a lunch, go soak your head in a dirty sink of water or something. The disclaimer, what you hear from us is what you get. I mean, like I said, it's not scripted. We're going to do this, and we're going to see if this wisecrack works or whatever. No, this is just us. And, you know, it's best to be, you know, be honest. Not honest as in rude, you know, being a jerk or a jackass. It's just basically, this is just us, you know, having a good time, talking wrestling, and, you know, not only enjoying ourselves, and we hope, you know, that you all enjoy, you know, listening to what we have to say, but the passion as well. I mean, the common bond between the three of us is not only we're such, you know, we're good friends and great buddies and that, but, you know, the passion for professional wrestling is there. whether if it be, you know, professional wrestling as in sports entertainment now, or professional wrestling as we adored it, you know, as young'uns. So I said young'uns, okay. So, I mean, that's pretty much the gist of that.
But, yeah, you know, like I said, definitely entertaining. And there are so many things that I've probably forgotten. Just guests we forgot. Like, we had Kyle O'Reilly on. He was a guest on our show. Kyle O'Reilly, Ring of Honor, New Japan star. He was on. Terry Sims, the beauty. He's been a guest on the show. James Beard, Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God, if I could just go. The Glow Girls. Oh, my God. We had, you know, is the last show of the run before you guys joined. But David and I got to have a Glow Girls reunion. And for a boy that grew up in the 80s, woo!
Easy there, fella. Wife's probably around the corner with her ear on the wall listening.
She knows my love for the Glow Girls. And I still love to see them every year at CAC, you know.
Yes.
You know, especially Hollywood, but well.
Well, another moment that was really cool was 2 years back at Cauliflower Alley, where we actually did a remote to where we ran around with phones, racking up guest after guest after guest, just putting them on the fly, and instead of, you know, letting David know, you know, 5 minutes ahead of time, but David, Kevin Sullivan's on. Whoa, and then all of a sudden, you know, Sullivan's on the phone. Destroyer's on the phone. Butcher Vachon is on the phone. I forgot the dude's name. The guy that does the paintings for WWE. You know what you know who is?
Rob Kamberger.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we talked to him. And they were willing to take the time out to do this for us. You know, they didn't have to, but you know, they saw us running around with chickens with our heads cut off, and it's like, hey, let's do this. And sitting with Barbara Goodish while she was signing autographs, and you know, Stan Hansen, and the three of us, we were just sitting there, just, you know, shooting it. I mean, just, you know, good stuff. I mean, it's just to kind of put it in one big old bubble, just one awesome experience. I mean, every little part of it.
Well, you know, Joe, you bring up the CAC episodes, and Brian, you have the dubious honor of actually being able to be part of both of the CAC live broadcasts. The first year we did it, when we had so many technical difficulties with the first episode. Yeah, we had that one. You know, Brian was our showrunner. Was our showrunner the first year, and I remember we had Reggie Parks, we had the Destroyer, we had Ron Hutchison, Eric Schmiel, and poor David, we were just winging, here's the next guy, here's the next guy, here's the next guy, here's the next one. The second year, when Joe and I and you were doing it, I had Joe going around with the interviews, you were helping out. I actually had the luxury of being able to sit there with my phone and message David ahead of time, okay, here's the next one, here's the next one. The second year, I think, was a little more organized and probably some of our better interviews. Although that first year was amazingly fun just to throw people at David. In fact, Brian and I thought we'd be funny. And the final guest, I think it was the first night we did it, I built it up as this is the big guest. Here we go. Are you ready for this, David? And it was the 2014 cribbage tournament winner, Tim Polterbeck.
Yeah.
And David's like, oh, okay. And, yeah, I built it up, but we gave him the cribbage tournament winner. And
well, live radio, I wanted to have some fun.
Yeah.
I mean, live radio, you got to be ready for just about any and everything. I mean, whether it be live, pro wrestling, period, you got to be ready for any and just about everything. And everything that's been thrown our way or stumbled across or leaped over the landmine, I mean, it worked. I mean, if it didn't work, we sure as heck tried to make it work. And knowing that, you know, that we did our best doing this thing. And you know, I can walk away at peace with myself or my head held high. It's like, you know what? you know, it was part of something that, you know, I wanted to do. It wasn't, and like I said, I mean, truth be told, you know, like you even said, Michael, you know, I pretty much was when it kicked the door down for you, you know, many, many years ago to get, you know, not just the podcast, but, you know, wrestling in general. And I thank you for, you know, returning the favor. Hey, you know, let's co-host this thing. And knowing that, you know, we put our all into what we do and being sincere about it, you know, I can walk away saying, you know, I'm very proud of this project. You know, I'm very proud of it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like we told Trey earlier, I mean, you can never say never in this business. I'm sure the three-man power grip, we'll get back together and do something. You know, maybe we'll do like an annual special. You know, the year in review with a three-man power grip. We could just go on for three hours and have a grand old time.
Well, you never know. I mean, as the old cliche goes, you know, one day at a time, you know, things happen, whatever. But, I mean, like I said, because, you know, we'll still be banging our gums and yakking, but unlike before thousands and millions of people listening to our conversations, we can actually have some conversations in private, so.
There you go. I'll have to remember the time difference, though. You know, I don't want to call you at like, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning and be like, hey Joe, and it's like 6 a.m. where you're at. Like, oops, I would feel bad. But anyways, guys, it's been great to talk about some of our memories, some of our highlights. But I want to go back specifically to the very first episode that we did of ISW Radio. It was in January 2014, and the timing of our first episode was perfect because that same night they were announcing the CAC honorees for that year's reunion. And our first guest for the show was none other than Morgan Dollar. Morgan has been a huge supporter of ISWE. He might be the one person who's listened to every episode of ISWE Radio. I'm not sure. We'll ask him about that. Because being he was our first guest, it seems fitting to have him as our final guest as well. Ladies and gentlemen, the CAC Executive Vice President and ISWE fan, Mr. Morgan Dollar. Morgan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Michael, how y'all doing tonight?
We're doing good. According to Joe, there's been some photos on social media that you're not doing so bad yourself.
Oh, I'm just out here trying to make a living, man, trying to make a living.
All right, well, let me ask. Okay, Morgan, it's Joe. Well, first, you know, I want to wish you well, see how you're doing. Okay, real quick, has there been any increase or decrease or more tickets?
More tickets.
We just
ate supper. I'm at Harris Cherokee Casino in Cherokee, North Carolina. And
right.
We just ate supper in the Diamond Lounge, and which is free for Diamond level players. And
ooh.
We got through eating, and I told Annette, I said, you know, I got a few minutes. Let me put $40 in this machine. I put $40 in it, got it down to $10, and ended up 400, somewhere around 400 free spins, and I ended up cashing out $777 and some odd cents. I can't remember.
Dang. I love it.
So that's added on to the $600 and $300 ticket I've got. I brought $1,000 with me, so I'm up somewhere around, I don't know, $1,300 or something like that.
Nice.
Real quick. Wow. Yeah, real quick. You know what, Morgan? Okay, when you bet, do you play slots?
I play slots. I usually play penny slots, but last night I got on a quarter Monopoly machine, and that's what I won $600 on. But I got a philosophy when it comes to playing slots. I walk around. I don't have a favorite penny machine. I walk around, and I look for a machine that has on the screen. Nowadays, machines don't pay out money. It pays out tickets.
Yeah.
So I go around, and I look for machines that says, please call attendant out of paper or whatever it says. I look for those machines, and then I hit the call button. And they come and they replace the paper in it, and then I sit down and start playing it. And my philosophy is there's been a lot of people played that machine. That's why it's out of tickets. So that means that machine's took in a lot of money.
Do you max bet?
Sometimes I do. I was max bet on the machine I just hit on was $3, and I was betting $1.50.
Okay.
So,
cool.
But that's the way I mean, my strategies work good here. I don't know why. Annette, she's constantly calling me a lucky ass. So, hey.
I'm going to kind of go with that one myself, but.
She's down about $200 is what she's down. And she brought $1,000 with her. So we're still, between the two of us, we're still doing good.
My wife, Arlene Morgan, she says hi.
Well, tell her I said hello.
I sure will.
And we actually, Toby Keith, right now as I'm talking to you guys, Toby Keith is in concert here, and our slot host called us from Las Vegas and asked us this morning if we wanted to go see Toby Keith tonight. And I found out what time it was. I said, no. I said, he went on at 9, and I need to do this interview at 10, so we decided not to go see it. So I'm putting IHWE radio up above Toby Keith tonight, and I'm a big country music fan. So there you go.
Wow.
That tells you what I'm at IHWE radio.
We're honored,
man.
Lord,
we
are straight up honored.
Just added to the bill, Morgan. I'm sure I owe you and your wife a lot for this one because, according to you, I ruined the surprise, too. So.
No, it worked. It worked out. It's all good. We're having a good time. We got here at 5 o'clock this morning, and because it's a holiday week / weekend, we couldn't get in the room till 11 o'clock this morning. I'd been up since 8 o'clock Wednesday morning.
Wow.
Ooh.
And finally went to bed today at noon. So needless to say, we was both exhausted.
Wow. Kind of reminds me of our road trips, Michael.
Yeah, well, we're going to have one of those on Saturday, Joe. Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah.
One last time, man, we're going to do it. 14 hours of driving in a 24-hour period. It'd be great.
Well, Mrs. Joe said, you know, she can drive a little bit, but as long as she stays away from the mountains.
There you go.
But, you know, IHW Radio, Michael, you was probably right. I've probably listened to every show. I've probably listened to, I would say, a good 85 to 90% of them live. The other 10, 15%, it's because I was either working or out of town or whatever and couldn't listen to the show. But you guys have done so much in really a short time. But at the same time, I say it's a short time. Most blog talk radios shows, people has these big plans and it fizzles out within 6 months because it is really, truly it's a job. It's because you love it, but it's a job to keep a show going as long as you guys have kept IHW Radio going and have a good show. And all of you have done good. Joe, Michael, Brian, David, all of you have done real good with the show. And it's kind of sad that this is the farewell deal, maybe, if you will, but I know there's big things in the future coming up for IHW Radio, for Michael, for Joe, Brian, all of you. So it's not a sad thing. It's just progression, and that's what you guys are doing. You're taking it to the next level, and I'm really looking forward to hearing the upcoming shows, the new format, and all the good stuff you guys got planned.
Oh, thank you, Morgan. I appreciate that. As I said earlier, when we started this, David and I figured if it went 6 to 9 months, we were going to be happy. We were not expecting a 2.5-year run. And like you said, new one starts in September. We're looking at new networks. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's coming up. But you've been a guest. You're probably the one who's been on our show the most out of all of our guests. You were on our first show. You've been on our CAC live podcast. You've been on the ones that lead up to the CAC. You were here for our tribute to Bob Kelly. You came on when we talked about Shuhei Aoki. You've been on, and you've been on as a guest yourself. You've been on so many times. I asked Joe and I asked Brian kind of what one of their favorite memories of it is. But out of all the appearances you've had, what's meant the most to you being on here?
You know, I don't. That's a tough one to answer. And reason being, you know, you talk about Bob Kelly and Shuhei and Bockwinkel. They was all dear friends of mine. And it would be hard for me to really say what was the best show. The most fun show, I would say, was, and all I've got to say is this, and I'm sure it'll get a chuckling for the people that was listening to the show, they'll remember. All I got to do is say Nutsacks.
Yeah!
Now, that was the fun show. And, you know, the previews and all that, those things are, they're memories that we'll always have, even though this show's, this is the end of the show, we'll still have all the memories. So all of them's been good. And believe it or not, I've really enjoyed listening to shows that I wasn't on. They was all good shows. When you've had Dr. Mike Lano on, all the shows have been real good. So it's hard for me to say which one's the best, really, because they all, each one of them means something special to me in its own special way.
Well, I know I think I can speak for all the guys, Margo, when I say we appreciate all the support from you and from the Cauliflower Alley Club in this venture. And I'm hoping that, you know, that partnership can kind of continue on with future projects, because we enjoy the CAC. We'll still be there every year and all that, you know. It's been great. And honestly, I think probably, you know, you talked about the tribute shows. I think we probably, and I hate to say this, but we've probably had you tear up more often on this show than, well, anybody. Probably more tears have been shed by you. That's the best way to put it. But that's not a bad thing. You know, we paid tribute to some great people.
Well, that was like Emily Miller when she passed. Her family wanted me to be a pallbearer, and they wanted me to speak at her funeral. And I spoke at her funeral, and I got choked up, but I didn't really shed any tears. And after the fact, Count Grog, that's a CAC member, he lives on the east coast of North Carolina, he was at the funeral. And after the funeral, he come up to me. He said, "Morgan, you done better here than you do at CAC. I'm proud of you." So that was... It was a bittersweet moment. Of course, any funeral's bittersweet, but the past couple of weeks of Emily's life, she wouldn't have wanted to be in the position she was in. And we saw it. I got to say my goodbyes to her, and you hate to lose anybody, but she was at the point where it was time for her to go on to other things, and that's what she done. And like I say, she might be gone, but we'll always have the memories.
Emily was an absolutely amazing lady. Like I said, this year at the reunion, she asked me to come over and give her a hug when I thanked her, when I congratulated her on her award. And that was the only time Emily's ever asked me for a hug. And now, unfortunately, it's the last one too. So, you know, I'm going to have that memory.
When we walked through the casino, when we got here this morning and walked through the casino, there was a white-headed woman sitting at a machine. Her hair was kind of thin like Emily's was. She was wearing glasses like Emily. She was Emily's size. She matched Emily to a T. And I told Annette, I said, I'm a good mind to take a picture of this woman from behind her and post it on Facebook and say, "Hey, guys, they got slot machines in heaven," because it looked just like Emily.
Wow. That's great.
Is Brian here?
Brian's here, yes. Brian, speak up.
Hey, Brian, you're awful quiet tonight.
Oh, yeah, just listening to all the memories, and yes, thank you for all the all the positive feedback and all the love you've had for our show. Yeah, it's been great. I can't believe it's lasted this long and just all the open doors that have come out of it. Yeah, Emily, one of a kind, will definitely be missed. Great to see, great surprise, getting to see two women at the same time get the Red Fast State Friendship Award. Unfortunately, that means so we've lost two people that have held that award now, unfortunately, Emily and Shuhei. So,
that's right. But, Brian, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you two questions. I know you have been a fan of professional wrestling before you left the hospital in a baby crib, it seems like. So then you become a member of the CAC. You started coming to the CAC, to the reunions. How much did your wrestling, I want to say career, because really, I mean, you've turned the history part of wrestling into a career. How much did it grow once you become a member of the CAC? Was the CAC the catalyst to making you as popular as you've become with your history knowledge?
Actually, became a fan in 89, and we're just writing down a little. It started out with statistics, height, weight, where their hometown was from, then. And, of course, like I say, I was more of a mark then, smarting up, thanks to Eric Chibble's newsletter in 1994. So that's when it really got going into gear. Of course, before that, the PWI 500, doing all the title history information, and it just grew and grew and grew. And then slowly interviews were coming up. Rugged Rod Price in October of 1999, Bobby Blaze in 2002, and then going to WrestleMania 19, so I've already got that off my bucket list with my best friend in Seattle. In 2004, I was doing a podcast with a friend of mine. Goes by Jared Rogel's name, but he goes by he was a referee at that time. But that was my first time getting to interview Paul Butcher, Pashawn, Terry Taylor, the whole crew of NWA Wild Side. That was a real wild one that we lost total control over. And Jared was telling me, yeah, you've got to go to the CAC reunion. He was just telling me about 2004 and telling me about Bobby Heenan getting the Iron Mike Mazurki Award. Total surprise. So, yeah, that's when I finally said, yeah, we finally got to go. So 2005 was the first one. 2006 became a lifetime member. Yeah, it was just a catalyst, just all these open doors. And then, of course, receiving the award, but the Red Bastide Friendship Award, winning it on Roddy Piper's birthday and being the last one to receive it when Red was still alive. And I understand Red's wife of tears coming down her face from what Gordienko told me. So, yeah, just a huge, huge deal. And just, yeah, it's just been exploding ever since. And thanks to this, being a part of IWE, the National Wrestling Alliance asked me, we want you to become our official historian, which I have gladly taken on. And I'm helping out with the CAC with our newsletter. So, yeah, it's just been great.
And it's all a labor of love. You don't get paid a dime, do you?
Right, right.
Just like me. I mean, that's like right now. We're on vacation, really, a mini vacation till Sunday. And here I am promoting wrestling, the CAC, IHW radio, and I have no problem doing that. If the opportunity is available, I'll make it work, whatever I have to do. And my wife's cool with that. She understands my passion for the CAC, for wrestling, for IHW, and we all do it for a labor of love. Michael and Joe both. I mean, blood, sweat, and tears they've put into this business. It's just people don't realize. People think we're crazy because we love professional wrestling. Well, the professional wrestling family is a different kind of family that I have ever been involved with. I've been involved with all kind of nonprofits and I volunteered for all kind of organizations, but professional wrestling, it's a tight group of people. If one of us hurt, we all hurt. If one of us laughed, we all laughed. So it's a unique business, organization, whatever you want to call it, but professional wrestling is truly my passion.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
When did you get involved in professional wrestling?
As a fan or getting into the business?
Getting into the business, because I don't know when I became a fan. I was so young, I couldn't even tell you when I became a fan.
Probably 1994, 1995 is when I started. I would videotape APW, All Pro Wrestling shows. I would videotape there, make copies for Roland Alexander and the guys because they were trying to get on board with WWE and ECW and WCW in Japan at that time. And I got introduced to Kirk White, and I started videotaping matches, shows for them. And it was one particular night I was having dinner with Gigolo Steve Rosano and Jason Styles, and they asked me if I thought about doing play-by-play commentating, and I went, what? And they go, well, in the Indies, an expensive cameraman is the camcorder, and you can talk into the camcorder. And so the first thing I said was, well, my voice, no one's going to want to hear that. No, it's what they're listening to, Joe. So the light bulb kicked on, and I knew the style that I wanted to do, which were the four guys that I grew up listening to, the two out of the San Francisco territory shires, which was Walt Harris and Hank Renner, and Frank Bonema and Don Koss up in Portland for Don Owens. So, you know, you got the four of them and a little smidgen of me, and there you go. And it just took off from there, from, you know, play-by-play commentating to ring announcing to promoting, booking. And, yeah, so it's been a labor of love, and the passion. The passion is still there, and it's never – if the passion starts to leave, I will stop doing this. But the passion's here, and I don't think it's never going to leave.
Right. Well, Michael, I guess you're the youngest. You're the rookie out of the gang that's on tonight, aren't you?
Actually, I believe – Brian, how old are you?
1242.
Okay, I'm a year older than Brian. So Brian and I are about the same time frame there, Morgan.
When did you get into it, Michael?
1995. August of 1995, I got a job working with Bobby Riddell, who did Inside Wrestling, Inside Ringside newsletter. And all that. He's a CAC member. He's been to some of the reunions. And, you know, just got a computer, got AOL set up, and, you know, got in touch with somebody who got me in touch with Bobby, and I started writing pay-per-view reviews. That's kind of how I got my professional start. So I've been doing this now for 21 years, and it's just kind of evolved into being more of a historian, and then now into the podcast, promoting, booking. When I get out to Texas and we start working with David Moore, I'm hoping to work a little bit more behind the scenes, maybe work more creative, help the guys kind of like, you know, put together, you know, some storylines, stuff like that, because creative is what I love to do. I love the creative aspect of everything. I'm a writer by trade. This podcast hosting was not what I was ever expecting to do.
It's amazing how, you know, all four of us that's on tonight kind of, yes, we was all fans to start with, but we all got in the business in a very own unique way. I was personal friends with Jimmy Valiant, and I ended up refereeing a match for him, and I didn't even know what the crap I was doing. I was smartened up, but I was smartened up as a fan. I wasn't smartened up as a worker. And he told me, just get in the ring and do it the way I see it on TV. So I got in the ring and worked like Tommy Young, and one thing led to another, and here I am now doing crazy stuff. So
wouldn't have it any other way, though. You know, I'm sure my wife would like me to kind of step back a little bit from what I do, but I'm like Joe. I've got a passion for it. I'm into it. Especially now working with David and Joe and everything, promoting all that, I'm pretty much from the time I wake up until the time I go to bed, something wrestling related is going on. And honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. I love this, and I'm going to continue to do it as long as I can. And I've got a 5-year-old little boy that he's now getting into wrestling, and he does the flips and things like he sees on TV. So I get to watch wrestling through his eyes now too, because he gets really excited when he sees all the, you know, Dean Ambrose or Sheamus and all that. And, you know, trying to get him to watch a little bit of the older stuff, but he still likes, you know, the New Day and all that. So, but he's young.
Well, with my kids, it's really cool because, you know, they pretty much went with me on the road to do shows or promote shows or what have you. So my kids have went with me since they were little, and now they're all adults. And more days, you know, my son Mike, you know, took that a step further. For 3 of his 4 years in high school, he wrestled. So, you know, the passion is there. And with my wife, you know, whether it be running the box office at a show in Oregon or running the gimmick table with Patty here, you know, the full hands-on, you know, family support. And with this support system, I couldn't ask for anything more.
And that's what it takes. And with my position with the CAC as executive vice president now, which for the record, I was not the executive vice president on the first IHW radio show, and I am now, but my wife, she knows that I spend probably a good conservative 20 to 25 hours a week on CAC stuff. It's not just a month or two before the reunion. I'm dealing with stuff year-round. So it's she's my biggest support base that I have, because it's not always easy. It's not always fun and happy-go-lucky. I have to make some big decisions that some members of the club like, some members don't like, and I have to weigh it out, and whatever I decide, I'm deciding for the betterment of the CAC, and I don't like to discuss stuff like that with other people while I'm trying to make a decision. So my wife is the go-to, and we talk about it and weigh things out, and I make my decision and present it to the executive board, and whatever happens, happens. But you got to have a support in anything you do. If you don't have the support, especially from a wife / girlfriend, whatever your situation is, if you don't have that support, it's not going to work. It's really not.
Very true.
All right, well, Morgan, we're going to wrap up this interview. I would like to thank you for joining us for our final episode, and I'm sure we'll have you on our new venture. So, and, of course, we will all see you next year, May 1st, at the CAC reunion. So, but thank you for joining us. Thank you for your support, all the kind words and everything. And you know what? If you want to, like, donate a little bit of money to, like, you know, the Michael McCurdy Traveling Fund, I am doing a 2,000-mile road trip. I mean, sounds like I got a little extra cash, but it's not totally in
Michael.
Set up a GoFundMe page. People set them up for stupider things than that.
This is true. This is true. Go fund Michael to move to Texas. There we go.
There you go. Guys, I've enjoyed it tonight. I really have. You know, I was in there gambling, and I come out here, and I thought, man, I don't really want to do that interview because I'm having a good time, blah, blah, blah. But I come out here. I come outside. I didn't even go up to the room. I come outside and done the interview, and I really enjoyed it. I really did. And I've enjoyed it for the past two and a half years. And when you kick it off in September, if you want me on your first show, hey, I'll make it happen. Y'all make it happen. Let me know when, and I'll make it happen, and we'll do it. So I'd be honored to be on any shows, anytime, and you guys just continue doing the good work that you're doing in the next phase of IHWE Radio.
Thank you, Morgan.
All right, guys. Well, I'm cutting out of here then, and we will catch y'all later.
Hey, Morgan,
right.
You take care.
Good luck.
Real quick, get back out there and make that $1 million tax-free, my friend.
That's what I'm doing. You know, I like hitting those $600 and $700 tickets like that because that don't get an IRS paper.
There you
yes,
go.
Yes, sir.
But, all right, guys, have a good one, and we will catch y'all later.
Thank you for joining us,
take
Morgan.
Care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Wow. I'm
Morgan,
a little taken aback by some of that.
Morgan Dollar making money, doing the interview, and he's going to go back and make some money. Now, there's a man's man right there.
Yep.
There you go. All right, well, guys, this is the part of the show I hated to say, but unfortunately, you know, work does call. I do need to return. But before we go, I do want to say every Wednesday night for the last 2 years, I call into the studio. The three of us do this show, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. We're going to do more together. I can see. I can't see a future where we don't do something, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a joint venture, whether it's Joe, you and I write, you know, a book about our crazy road tales, and we have Brian write the forward. Joe, you've always been like what I refer to as, you know, my brother from another mother. And Brian, I think of you the same way. You're like family to me. Obviously, you and I, you know, with the NWA historian and all that, we'll be working together on things and all that. But I've enjoyed every Wednesday night these last 2 years. We've missed very few Wednesday nights
right.
together. So I've enjoyed it all. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to close on my end by thanking you guys. Thanking the listeners who tune in, who download, thanking Trey for putting on there. And most important, I would like to thank David Fuller. He created ISW Radio. He put out a post asking for a host, and he gave me the opportunity to do something that I didn't think I was really going to be good at, but I've enjoyed every second of it. So a lot of doors have opened for me. Joe, you opened doors. Bobby Riddell opened doors. Mike Lano opened doors. The CAC opened doors. I didn't know David Fuller opened doors. I didn't know there were so many doors to open. But I'm just going to say, and I'm not going to give you all my spiel about where to find me. We're just going to close it out tonight and let these guys speak there, you know, as well. But I just want to say thank you. If I had The Rock,
wow.
I'd spell it out like BJ when Hawkeye left in the helicopter. And, yes, that's the MASH reference. I would just spell out
yeah.
thank you.
Well, for those of you that saw my Facebook last night, Brian, you saw it. Michael, I'm not too sure if you saw it or not.
I did.
Let me kind of do a little edited version of it. These past two and a half years, mixed feelings, but all good. Some crazy, some zany, some laughing. And there's some where I'm just shaking my head, like, what in the world were we talking about? And just, you know, just laughing. You know, Wednesdays, you know, wrestling-wise is something that, you know, I knew I was looking forward to, you know, hanging with you guys. And we do this thing. And, you know, it's a labor of love and it's a passion. And, you know, with you, Mike, you know, it goes back to our 20 years plus, you know, friendship. We go way, way back. Whether it be seeing each other at Eureka High for a Bay Area wrestling show and then to a big time wrestling show at the Muni, the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, that'll be in the books one of these times. And then, you know, the numerous road trips. But barring all that, talking about, you know, the podcast, I want to thank, you know, our listeners. For allowing us to come into their home, computer, phone, megaphone, whatever, to listen to what a trio of guys, you know, do what they love. And for that, I say thank you. Mike, for, you know, handing out the olive branch, me saying, hey, Joe, you want to, you know, co-host this thing? And that was a no-brainer. I mean, there was no, well, we have to talk about it. I mean, it is no difference in what we do. when I'm standing, you know, at the gas station, we're just banging our gums, and your customers are walking in, shaking their heads, what are they talking about now? And you know, for that, I say thank you. And Brian, you know, all the knowledge that, you know, you've thrown our way and some stuff that, you know, I've forgotten, it's like, wow, you know, I remembered, and then a little connection kicked in, and I would throw something in there, you know, I say thank you. To our guests, all of our guests that's been on the show, everybody, from the bottom of my heart, a very sincere thank you for taking a chance on us. Well, you know, hopefully these guys aren't going to, you know, treat me like an idiot, which we didn't, you know. I mean, everybody had a wonderful time. Even the surprise phone call, you know, Mr. White, you know, well, you know, well, we got you on this one. And finally, a gratitude of thanks to Mr. David Fuller for starting up this podcast. And also, you know, Mike, when you recommended me to him, it's like, hey, you know, my best friend Joe, you know, through the podcast thing, he didn't know me from high or hair, and you know, the rest is history. And for that, you know, David, I say thank you. Brian?
Well, this has just been incredible. And to quote Dan Crawford, without you, there is no us. So, again, I want to thank our listeners, our audience. I just want to say thank you for enjoying these 2.5 years with us, this wild roller coaster ride we've had. I also want to thank definitely David Fuller for allowing me to be part of this. It has just been incredible to share history and to talk with people that we've admired in the business for so long for these open doors. Thank you, Douglas Hart and the National Wrestling Alliance, for your confidence and your faith in me, and install me as your official historian. And I have loved the National Wrestling Alliance for a very, very long time. And this July, we'll be celebrating 68 years of existence. So, yeah, we've got another – in 2 years, we've got the real big 70 coming up. So, yeah, just bigger and better things. And just Michael and Joe, thank you for your friendship and for your love and for the opportunity to just be with you in your neck of the woods, literally, getting to see how it was all done and all put together. Just incredible. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And for all of our Alley Club and for Mike Leno and for all their support, thank you for everything you guys have done and for your support for IHWE. And we just think, I just think that bigger and better things are coming. And, yeah, it's been a real blast. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close out tonight's show by saying thank you for once again listening to IHWE Professional Wrestling Radio and let us into your homes one more time as the news and we come closer to our premiere date. In the fall, I will keep you all informed. But for tonight, thank you for allowing us to just talk and share our memories and our thoughts of this. It's been a wonderful run. I've enjoyed every second of it. I hope you've all enjoyed it as well. Thank you, and have a wonderful evening.
So long, everybody.
Good night, everyone.